Last month, our newest curate, Emily Hilden, was ordained to the priesthood here at the Church of St. Michael and St. George, and it made me think about ordination. I remember the day I got ordained, over 25 years ago, no doubt one of the most profound moments of my life, Manikin Episcopal Church, Powhatan, Virginia, 1987. There was a wonderful liturgy in a little Episcopal church that day, gathered congregation there with family and friends. The bishop laid hands on my head, and then he gave me a Bible, saying, "Receive this Bible as a sign of the authority given to you to preach the Word of God and to administer His holy sacraments. Do not forget the trust committed to you as a priest of the Church of God." And I was made a priest. I was called out, set apart, equipped to minister the day I was ordained. I'll never forget the day I was ordained. I wonder if you remember the day you were ordained. Because in baptism, that's what all Christians are. Ordained as ministers to share in Christ's ministry. The trouble is when you hear minister, you think priest or pastor or preacher, but you don't think of yourself, the baptized, the equipped. In the early rites of baptism, the church made this clear. The newly baptized person was dressed in a white robe, symbolic of the new life that was being undertaken. Hands were laid on the head, sign of the gift of the Holy Spirit to empower this person in ministry with Christ in the world. Later, a Bible was given, a sign that this new Christian was willing to do preaching and teaching. And of course, over time, much of this ritual migrated from the liturgy of baptism, everybody, to the liturgy of ordination for the clergy. So that now, when you think of the laying on of hands with ordination, you don't think of baptism. And of course, this leads to the unfortunate conclusion that if there's any ministering to be done, the clergy will do it. And that the laity are just there to undergird the work of the clergy. And it's sad because in baptism, everybody is a minister. Everybody is called to share in Christ's ministry to the world. Anyone who spent time in seminary has invariably met somebody enrolled there who's probably not called to the ministry of priesthood. They're not called to lead congregations. No, they came because they wanted to lead lives of deeper commitment to Christ. They want to give themselves fully to Christ's ministry. And the sad state of the church today is that they think the only way to do that is to go to seminary and get ordained. But no, all are called to be ministers. The catechism found in the back of the prayer book asks, "Who are the ministers of the church?" To which it answers, "The ministers of the church are lay persons, bishops, priests, and deacons. In short, everybody who's baptized is a minister." Now, I've begun with all this talk of ordination today, because today's gospel is Luke's account of the baptism of Jesus. And in that story, Jesus, as a young man, comes to the river and he is baptized. And as he's baptized, the heavens open and the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove. And there is a voice, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." It's clear that this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. That day, with the Holy Spirit, there's a sign that Jesus is being authorized, empowered, equipped to be a sign that the kingdom of God has come into the world. Jesus' baptism is his ordination, the beginning point of his work, the beginning point of his ministry. And you're right here to hear an echo of another story from Luke that we heard here in church a few weeks ago. Here's Mary, a young peasant woman minding her own business in Judea. And an angel comes to her and says, "Mary, God's calling you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you to equip you to do what God wants you to do. You will be the vessel by which God will bless the whole world. You see, Mary is receiving the Holy Spirit. She's entering into her ministry. In baptism, each of us is gifted with the Holy Spirit to be about our ministry. The story of Jesus' baptism, the story of the Annunciation to Mary, these are stories about the beginning of their work for God. These are stories about ministry. And from these stories, I draw three implications for you, the ministers. The first implication is that your ministry is a gift from God. It is something that God does long before it's anything you do. It's a gift. The descent of the Holy Spirit, the laying on of hands, it's a gift. Your ministry is God's idea long before it's your idea. And I can tell you, as a priest, when people get called for ministry, they invariably protest. You want to try getting people to head up the altar guild. They always protest. They always say, oh, God must have the wrong name. God must have turned up at the wrong address. I'm not the right person for this. But it does seem, and you can think of stories in the Bible that back this up, it does seem that God calls whom God calls. This was made plain vividly to me sometime back in my last parish when I was supervising a seminarian who told me he wouldn't have a Bible study he was doing for a group in the parish done on time because something had come up. And I used this as an opportunity to say something about being a priest to him. I said, look, this is unacceptable, okay? This is irresponsible. You're going to be a priest. Priests have to manage their time to get the job done. This is part of the work. You can't show up on Sunday and say, I'd like to have a sermon, but I've been busy this week, and so we're going to break into discussion groups for 20 minutes. You can't do that as a priest. This is irresponsible. You've got to become more punctual. You've got to become more organized. And he said, hey, back off. I agree with you. I'm not equipped to be a priest. I'm not a person who should be turned loose on a congregation, but I have said all of this previously to God, and this is God's idea, and you're complaining to the wrong person. And you know he was right. God calls whom God calls. It's a gift. It's not something that wells up inside of us, but something that comes to us from the outside. The descent of the dove, the gift. You are ministers because your name has been called. The Holy Spirit has been given to you for ministry. Which leads to the second implication for ministry. It seems that these stories of ministry are clear. That as the church has always said, God equips those whom God calls. God doesn't call you to perform any ministry for which God will not equip you to do that ministry. What God calls you to do is too difficult to do on your own, or in your own steam, or under your own power. And so God gives you gifts. And so you should be asking yourself questions like, well, where is God calling me to minister? And then follow them up with, and how is God giving me the gifts I need to be that minister? And I can tell you, as a priest, I've seen remarkable gifts of God given in remarkable ways. I've seen people given gifts for ministry that didn't seem like gifts at all. For instance, over time, there have been men and women in this parish who've become unemployed, who've been laid off and lost their jobs because of a buyout or an economic downturn. But some of these folks have turned around and used that experience as a gift to help others. They've used their experience to be of some use to others who find themselves without jobs. They've helped them write resumes. They've helped them learn to network. They've challenged them to get creative when they least feel able to. The gift of saying, hey, look, I've sat where you're now sitting. Now, what can we do to get you back on your feet? My third point is that ministry is the gift of all the baptized. I walked past a church once with a sign that said, Pastor Jane E. Smith, ministers the whole congregation. And that sign had it right. It's sad when your valid baptismal ministry is given to the clergy of all people. No, I'm only here this morning. I only have significance here to equip you for ministry. And that may be why you're here this morning yourself, even if you didn't know that was why you were here. You are here to be equipped. You are here to develop the gifts and skills you need to do ministry. I think the church ought to spend more time reflecting, asking laity, now, what do you need to do the ministry where you are? You're an elementary school teacher, okay? What skills do you need to do ministry where you are? You're an accountant, okay? What skills do you need to do ministry where you are? That's why we have preachers in the first place, as Martin Luther says. You have preachers on Sunday so that the whole church can be out preaching on Monday. You teach so that all the ministers can be out on the rest of the week showing the work of God. Years and years ago, Duke's John Westerhoff said, if you're a clergy person and you're spending more than 10 hours a week running around doing various things out in the community, you're wasting your time. Your ministry is in the church, equipping the laity to be ministers. Ministry in the world has become so difficult that we need prayer and we need Bible studying and teaching and counseling of the laity in order to do that. On the other hand, Westerhoff said, if you're a lay person and you're spending more than 10 hours a week down at the church, you're wasting your time. That's not where your ministry is. Your ministry is out in the world. You come to church to get equipment for ministry. You need to demand from your church the equipment you need in order to be in ministry. And we clergy, I admit, have to be reminded of that, the power of your work in the world. A parishioner said to me a while back, I know it's a challenge to stand up in the pulpit and to preach. He said, I know it's a challenge to stand up there and to have to preach the word of God. And I said to him, no, that's easy. What I have to do on Sunday, that's easy compared to what you do all week. Standing up in the pulpit, that's easy. But to stand up at the water cooler on Monday morning, now that's hard. To stand up on the ninth hole and preach the word of God, that's tough. I'm only here so that you can be there. I'm here to tell you that being a Christian is not boring or bourgeois or middle class with a minivan. Being a Christian is an adventure. And it's your adventure to take out into the world. I'll never forget when I got here, parishioners told me about a ministry going on at the time. It seems that a member of the congregation had been shot by an inner city teenager in a carjacking gone bad. And some members of the congregation said, what can we do about the problems of the inner city? What can we do with that kind of kid who would do such a thing? So they decided to meet those kids where they were. And they began a ministry that gave birthday parties to kids in the juvenile detention center. One parishioner said to me, we give a birthday party to some teenager in jail, and sometimes those kids just break out in tears because they've never had a birthday party. Some of these kids have never been given a birthday present ever in their life. So we go there and we tell them God loves them so much that he sent us there to celebrate their birthdays. Now that kind of thing is a gift. There's a world out there dying for the lack of that kind of giftedness. That a bunch of everyday, ordinary people could get caught up in the great purposes of God. That God could give those ordinary people the gifts that they need to be a witness, a sign, a signal that God has not left this world to its own devices. That the kingdom of God is breaking out all over the place, all over St. Louis. That by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are called to be God's ministers. Amen.